In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The Gospel today from our teacher, St. Luke, starts off with a very catching sort of statement. Even people who mostly sleep during the readings, and I can see who's sleeping or not paying attention, they're captivated by the word, if you do not hate your father, your mother, your wife, your children, brothers and sisters, and even your own life, you can't be my disciple. Think about that for a minute. That's a striking comment, isn't it? And then at the end, there is a reiteration. Whoever does not forsake all that he has. And what is most precious to us, if it's not our father, our mother, our wife, children, brothers and sisters, or our own life? If we're not going to forsake that, it says it at the beginning and it says it at the end. You cannot be my disciple. I'm reminded, this is a very profane thing to say in the church, but there was a song called Walk on the Wild Side, and there's a lyric, and some of you, Jerry probably knows it. One day of praying and six nights of fun, the odds against going to heaven, 6-1. And a lot of people, this is the only fix. There's a priest that I listen to occasionally on a podcast, and he always talks about, let's open up the big book on the coffee table. It means you have like a presentation Bible. It's not just a presentation Bible. That means somebody gave you this thing, and it's precious because of the person who has given it to you, that they would even think of you as being Christian, or somebody who is, you know, hoping so badly that you would become Christian. Not just because you've been baptized, but in your actions. But you put this thing so that everybody can see, yes, this is the imprimatur. This is the proof. The big book on the coffee table. I've entered many houses and seen this book. Nothing in the house was more dusty. Well, you see, the Lord in the midst of this, he says, who intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost? Or if you're going to go to war with someone, the reasons aren't clear, but if it's a necessary thing to go to war, are you going to go to war with somebody that has so many more troops than you, who has so much more power? How are you going to solve this dispute? Is the Lord talking about building, or is he talking about warring? No. He's talking about you being honest in your profession as a Christian. He's saying, what is the cost of you being a Christian? Think about that. You're trying to build something. That means yourself. The place that houses your soul is your body. It's where I live. Henry Ford I once said of himself that he kept fit because he valued his mind, and his mind wanted to be represented in style. So he walks in and he's splendidly dressed. Of course, he's one of the richest men in the world at this time. But if you're going to be a Christian, what are you going to do? You know, we enter into our fast, and it has never failed in 33 years that when we begin a fast, somebody invariably comes up and asks me, well, I haven't started fasting, but I'm going to fast after I get communion today. Number one, I don't believe them. If they couldn't fast when we all started fasting, then they're not going to fast honestly after they receive communion. It's a cheap thing. You know, in Christianity also, one of the most difficult things for us to wrap our mind around is the Lord's mercy. We're always asking for the Lord's mercy in the liturgy. Have mercy on us, according to your mercy, not according to our sins. Mercy, mercy. But what we're really asking for is an indulgence so that we may maintain the small pleasantries that we give to ourselves outside the strictures of our faith. But a woman came up to me one time and said, I have to have coffee. I said, what's wrong with coffee? Have coffee. If you want to have, now they have this thing called Monster Energy. I just found out about that. It's got so much caffeine in it. It's incredible. And I thought, she's talking about she needs to wake up. She needs her coffee. But then she says, but I have to take it with milk. I said, how about Cremora? How about Silk milk? How about almond milk? How about, no, I have to take it with milk. I said, okay, that's fine. You can have your coffee, you can have your milk, but you cannot have communion. Boy, was she upset. It's such a small thing, right? Does God care? Does God really care if you have a half a cup of milk over the course of a few cups of coffee, pouring a tablespoon of coffee into each cup during the course of the day? Does God really care about that? No, of course he doesn't. God doesn't care about that at all. But he knows that the permissiveness that you allow for yourself, for which you beg his mercy, is because your conscience is telling you you are doing something bad. And why is it bad? Because you're not in communion with the rest of the people who have similar lives, who have fathers and mothers, children, brothers, sisters, and lives. And how are they doing it? How are they doing? Now, it may not be that you need anything dietarily. You know, you'd be surprised how many old people will come up to me. And number one, I'm older than they are. Number two, they say, I have to take these medications. I say, how many? I have to take 3 medications. The doctor told me to. Well, the doctor isn't a priest, and the doctor isn't God, and the doctor doesn't care about your religion. And if instead of taking your medicine at 8 in the morning, you took it at 12 one day, a week, is that going to kill you? No, I think not. Someone came to me in the church the other day saying, I have to take diabetic medication. You know, I'm on metformin. I said, metformin, really? I wish I were only on metformin. I'm not saying I'm a tough guy. I'm not saying that my personal characteristics and attributes make me less susceptible to the kinds of sins that everybody else is heir to. But what I am saying to you is that in order for me to stand here and speak to you, to do this, I bring condemnation on my head. I bring hell to the center of my being if I am a hypocrite. And you know, we all think we know what hypocrite means. A hypocrite means an actor. It means an actor in Greek. One who is a hypocrite. One who is playing a part. Playing a part. Not being real. Who has the price to pay for salvation? The poor man? The rich man? The faithful man? The faithful person has the price to pay. You see, we all have exactly the same amount to return to the Lord, and that is ourselves. We return ourselves. What I am, I give to you. We say this at the altar. We return these gifts to you from what were yours in the first place. We didn't make the wheat. We didn't make the water. We didn't make the grape. We didn't do any of that. You did, Lord, and we return this to you. And we ask that you enter into us through these very, very poor media, the means of communication. And the Lord says, certainly, certainly. The rich man has no advantage in his material wealth, and the poor man is not poor in front of God as long as he gives himself. Giving himself. This is it. The Lord's not worried about you building a tower and people laughing at you because you were not able to complete. He's saying to you, you know, when I look at old people, I have less compassion than anybody. It's because I'm 74. And I realize the game that's being played. People, when they get old, what they always want is a pass. I'm old. Okay, you're old. So what? Well, if I do this, I might die. You're gonna die anyway. And I don't know where in this culture it came from. That now, yes, you're nearing the finish line. You're getting near to your whole objective, the one that you espoused from the beginning. Espoused means married. Your objective is to be with Christ, is it not? Then you give yourself at the end with a more aggressive spirit than when you were young. When you were young, I can make excuses because your mind is scattered and you don't know exactly the weight of certain things that you enter into. And there's lots of things that are so ensorcelling. They mystify almost in their beauty, and one person is captivated by this and another by that and another. But when you get old, look, your body doesn't work. You realize that no matter how much money you spend on a chair, it's not going to get more comfortable than a Lazy Boy, hence the name. You realize that a good pair of shoes doesn't really cost that much. You don't need Ferragamos, you know. Some good old Skechers will do you just fine because you're old. Your skin is wrinkled and you're no longer somebody who is competing. Retired for the most part. Put out the pasture. So what do you have left? Simply the most important thing of all. The thing that you have been waiting for to get closer to the gate of heaven. To move. Everybody who is old should count the day that they live as precious, not because it's a day that I get to live, but it's a day where I have spent myself. And now I'm getting closer, even closer to the end. I want to be with my Lord. You see, there are people that when they get older, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. That's the last thing I want. Don't talk to me about dying. I'm old. You know? There's this old Jewish joke. You know, it's a good thing your father is dead, because if not, the news about you would have killed him. But those are material things. And all that passes away. All that passes away. The Lord is not talking except about this one thing. Do you really have what it takes for me? Or are you going to reserve a little bit for yourself, a little tiny bit for yourself that doesn't belong to God? And in this little tiny bit that you reserve, there is your life of sin. And it may take all kinds of forms. You know these things. You know when we read the first epistle of St. Peter today, they're listed. Licentiousness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Could be anything, couldn't it? You reserve this little spot just to hedge your bet. And the Lord says, you're not worthy. You're not worthy. The one who is worthy is the one who says, runs openly to his arms for the embrace. Not worried about anything that is behind. Moving only forward, looking towards the Lord and waiting for the embrace. I hope all of you will pray for me as I age. One of the things that I can say about myself is this. I haven't lived well. But I'm going to try to show you, by my example, how to die well. I want to show you how to die well. I had an experience with my aunt, and she died well. And my mother died well. And I hope to die well. It means not complaining, not moaning and groaning because of the attacks that are going to come, not because of that, but looking forward for the blessing that is going to be mine as soon as I finish. If you look at the people that run marathon races, none of them at the end want to go out dancing. They want their rest. They want the suffering of the 26 plus miles to be over. They are spent. And that's what the Lord is saying. You must spend yourself, all of yourself, because otherwise people will laugh at you. Why not be evil? If you're going to miss out on heaven, if heaven's not in the cards for you, then why not just be as evil as you possibly can be? You know, what did the Lord say in Revelations? Because you are neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because he can do something with a zealot. Whether the zealot is for evil or the zealot is for good. Because he can teach the evil person the right way. And the good person already knows the correct way. But the ones in the middle that waffle back and forth, I'm a Christian today, tomorrow I'm not, I'm doing this, well, you know, I know it's not right, but, you know, everybody else is doing it. It's not an excuse. So pray for me that I may die well. And I am trying. I don't want anyone to say that I am not trying. I am trying to live well. I just fail each day. No matter what day I get up, I always say this, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. When I'm in my bed, still horizontal, not yet vertical. And I get up and something happens within the first minute. And I go, well, did it again. So, and I'm just talking about a random thought. Just a random thought, that's all. But I'm trying. This is the difference between the one who will receive mercy and the one who is just begging for permissiveness from God. The difference is the Lord knows the heart of the person who's a fumbler, The Lord knows the heart of a person who just hasn't quite gotten it, but is still within their capacity pursuing it wholehearted. I wish this for all of you. I hope that every one of you does not despise what is happening in your life. I hope that everyone can see past the small things that occur and look towards the big thing. We are going to feel the embrace of our Father in heaven if we just keep our focus. So pray for me, I'll pray for you. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.